In the previous lecture, we stopped at Exodus 19, verse 5. I'm going to read it again. Repetition is a good thing. Listen what it says. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice, his voice, and keep my commandments, his commandments, keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for the earth is mine. By the way, he also supplies the ability to obey his law of love. It's there. You and I cannot do it on our own. Dependence, dependence, dependence. So important. Obedience to his holy law was designed to build a relationship with their Creator and their Redeemer. This is how we build relationships with one another and our children, our spouses. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. What an elevated dream that God has for us. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. Now, according to the divine plan and purpose, the Israelites were to be both a royal and a priestly race. In an evil world, they were to be moral and spiritual kings. And God wants you and me to be giants, spiritual kings and priests. As priests, they were to draw near to the Lord in prayer, in praise, and in sacrifices. Have you tried these three elements? Draw near, prayer, praise, sacrifices. The greatest achievement in life is to come close to God through obedience. Obedience is so important. As intermediaries between God and the heathen, they were also to serve as instructors, preachers, and prophets. God's plan has not changed. They were not to keep the knowledge of the character of God for themselves. They were to tell the wicked nations with their wicked gods about their good, loving, and forgiving gods. They were to be examples of holy living, heaven's exponents of true religion. Does God have the same elevated ideals, dreams for you? For me? Yes, for sure. In his coming kingdom, God has a royal place for all his royal children. I cannot wait for that day. Listen to what the book of Revelation tells us. To him who loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, perfect cleansing, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever and ever. Amen. As a people consecrated to God's service, they were to be unlike other nations. You know, we like to be like all others. God has got a better plan for us. This was to be manifested outwardly by circumcision and inwardly by godliness. A holy God, my friend, demands holy people. What's going on in your mind? Are you busy with holy thoughts? Delete ugly, unholy thoughts. Have you ever thought seriously about God's plan for your life? You're not just here for nothing. He's got a special plan just for your life. But you are a chosen generation, limited edition, chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. What a privilege. But who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy, higher than the highest human thoughts can reach, is God's ideal for us. Godliness, God-likeness, is the goal to be reached. Let's go back to those rugged mountain range and listen to the response of the people to God's invitation to become his special people. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which God commanded him. Now, how would you react to this kind of honor? And all the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." And Moses returned the words of the people to the Lord. How would you react to this honor? How did Israel react? God wants to honor us. How do we react to this special gift? Convinced and assured in their hearts that the terms of the covenant would be just and good, and desirous of securing for themselves and their posterity the blessings the Lord had promised. The elders readily accepted the covenant before knowing what its exact provisions would be. It was desirable that the people should express willingness to enter into such a covenant as God proposed, and to have time to think the matter through before being called to make formal ratification of it. If they were willing to obey God, the details of the covenant would follow. Have you ever signed a contract of a beautiful car, maybe, that you bought without checking the fine print? You have to check the fine print. Like so many deceived souls, they thought they had but to try in order to perform. God permitted their attempt in order that they might discover their inability and so be led to rely upon God. This is the greatest achievement in your spiritual life, to distrust yourself and rely on God. The spontaneous cry, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do," was without question a superficial demonstration of religious enthusiasm, a momentary reaction to a glorious and sublime truth. What about you and I? Do we have this phenomenon in religious meetings in our day? People getting excited. Yes, yes, we'll follow him. That's dangerous. Your trust should be in him. There was lacking the spirit of deep, true conversion. The heart to do what God demanded. What about you and I? Listen to God's compassionate appeal to his people. It is so beautiful. "Oh, that there was such a heart in them, that they would fear me, respect me, and keep my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever." My friend, I need this heart. Do you need this heart? At Sinai, you can visit these interesting phenomena in the rocks. It looks like a calf. You know, it is small wonder the people soon apostatized and worshipped the golden calf. Where does it come from? This is the Serapeum in Egypt, where they mummified these huge bulls, the Apis bull they call them, and worshipped them. So they had knowledge of previous worship styles. Now let's read about the next event in this divine drama. And the Lord said to Moses, "See, I come to you in a thick cloud." A thick cloud. What does that mean? That the people may hear when I speak with you and believe you forever. And Moses told the words of the people to the Lord. You know, whenever God speaks to men, he must always veil his glory. For sinful men like you and I cannot bear it. It will consume us. If God has to clothe himself with humanity, the human form is the veil. When he appears in a burning bush, the fire becomes the veil. Since many were ungodly and impenitent, it was even more necessary that he should cover himself. What would have happened to them, that evil lot of people, if he had not veiled his divinity? What would happen to you and me? The cloud out of which God spoke was the pillar of cloud that accompanied the Israelites out of Egypt and directed their march. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go to the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes." Wash their clothes. How did the Egyptians do it? Washing the body, shaving the hair from the head, and sometimes from the entire body, the Israelites seem to have purified themselves by washing only. The outward acts of preparation were designed to impress upon the people the need of preparing their hearts to meet God. I like this. Preparing your heart to meet God. Since the law was soon to be given as an expression of God's holiness, it was only fitting that the people prepared to receive it by sanctify themselves. If the Israelites were to be the people of God, it was imperative that they appreciate the sacredness of this relationship. My friend, the most precious relationship is the relationship between the creature and the Creator. This is the highest form of religious experience we can enjoy. This was particularly necessary since the Hebrews, oppressed by the Egyptian masters, had to a great extent lost a knowledge of the character and majesty of God. Do you need a fresh look at the profile of God? I do. And let them be ready for the third day, for on the third day the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. Wow! Come down in the sight of all the people. Now, when was the third day? According to Jewish tradition, this would be the fourth and the fifth of the month Sivan, the Decalogue being given on the sixth. The 2 days' preparation was to lend emphasis to the sanctity of the event. I like God's timing. He knows us and he knows what's necessary. What a thought. God was willing to come down from heaven to announce his holy law. Do you think he could ever abrogate it? How do we regard the holiness of the law? When last did you read it? What other safety preparations were to be put in place? "And you shall set bounds to the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves that you go not up into the mount or touch the border of it. Whoever touches the mount shall be surely put to death." So long as they refrain from crossing these bounds, they were safe. The purpose of the Lord was simply to manifest the reality, the extent and the proximity of his destroying power. They could not just enter into his presence. What about you and me? How do we behave in God's house? Be surely put to death. The severe punishment was specifically announced by God to impress upon the people in no uncertain terms what it meant to be in the presence of a holy God. What it meant to be in the presence of a holy God. One day, we will be in his presence. I'm looking forward to this. There can be no true religious feeling without a profound sense of reverence. Do you think we need reverence in the churches again? How should we approach God in prayer and in worship, the Holy God, consuming fire? There shall not an hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether it be beast or man. It shall not live. When the trumpet sound long, they shall come up to the mount. Now why should the transgressor not be arrested, but only shot? You know, we should ask questions as we study the Bible. The one making the arrest would have to pass the bounds in order to do so. God is serious and we need to obey his voice. Are you impressed with God and his holiness? You know, awe is so important in our worship. Everything was done to impress the Israelites with the awful majesty of God, as well as the spirit of solemnity that should fill one's heart upon approaching the divine. Before you pray, just be quiet for a while. Don't rush into your prayer. Imagine a holy God. God is ever present, but he veils his presence. Although he is with us, we don't perceive him, says Job 23 verse 8. But when he does reveal his presence, all before him tremble. Weakness quakes before strength. Littleness shrinks before greatness. Finite man becomes insignificant in the presence of the infinite. I think we should develop a new profile of the holiness of God. Corruption quails before incorruption. What a thought. Moral depravity before absolute purity. It is the consciousness of sin that makes a man tremble before a holy God. When the trumpet sounds long, they shall come up to the mount. Verse 13. Who are the they which are mentioned here? Who was to go up to the mount? And he said to Moses, come up to the Lord. So Moses is there. You and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and the 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship you afar off. Only they were called to come to the top of Mount Sinai. You know, God is extremely holy. And Moses went down from the mount to the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. Returning to the foot of Mount Sinai, Moses, in obedience to the command of verse 10, instructed the people in regard to preparations for the giving of the law. Look at the meticulous organization here when it comes to the law of God. And he said to the people, be ready for the third day. Do not come near your wives. Then it came to pass on the third day, in the morning, that there were thunderings and lightnings. They had to wait 3 days for this phenomenon. And a thick cloud in the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. Verses 16 to 20 deal with the manifestation of the divine presence of God at Sinai. In revealing himself to man, the Lord employs various methods. To Elijah he came as a still small voice at the same mountain. To the prophet Daniel and the apostle John, he used visions. To the disciples he spoke directly through his son, the incarnate son. This is Tarsus where Paul was born. It's such a joy to visit these sites. Now to Paul, God appeared in ecstatic vision. The apostle hearing unspeakable words which is not lawful for a man to utter. This is how he spoke to Paul. Antioch, where Paul labored. Now, how does the Lord speak to you? Have you heard his voice? Are you tuned in to hear him speak to you through the Holy Spirit? When God would impress us with the importance and majesty of his law and the constitution of his spiritual kingdom, he appears with terrifying grandeur. Listen what Paul says. For you have not come to the mountain that may be touched and that burned with fire, and to blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. They couldn't handle the manifestation of a little bit of the glory of God. For they could not endure what was commanded. And if so much as a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. Hebrews 12. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I am exceedingly afraid and trembling. And he was a friend of God, he spoke to God, but he couldn't handle this manifestation of his glory. It surrounds his law. How are we looking and how are we respecting his Ten Commandments? Worship becomes more respectful by beholding his glory. It's awe-inspiring. But you have come to the Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. So the angels attended God the Father when he came down to Sinai. Let's return to Sinai. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part, the foot of the mountain. What a solemn moment in the history of Israel. It is evident that the camp itself must have been back some distance from the foot of the mount, with an open space between the first tents and the barrier that Moses had erected close to the mount. Now Loretta says that Moses led the people into this vast vacant space, thus bringing them as near as they dared approach the divine presence. You see the amphitheater and the mountain? And Mount Sinai was altogether on smoke, the entire mountain, because the Lord descended on it in fire. What a sight. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace. Have you ever seen the smoke of a furnace? And the whole mount quaked greatly. What a moment. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by a voice. The words Moses spoke and God answered offer a striking definition of the nature of the divine law. Don't let anybody tell you that the law is abrogated. No, it's the character of God. And so terrible, terrifying was the sight that Moses said, "I exceedingly fear and quake." So awful was the sight, the mount being covered with smoke, and so fearful the sound of the trumpet, that Moses could not remain silent. All God's commandments are responses to deep needs of our souls. The devil doesn't want us to enjoy this. They issue forth from the reciprocal action of God and the human heart. Please, my friend, read the Ten Commandments and read it with respect and a prayerful attitude. You will discover the depths of God's character. The Decalogue is not simply a code expressing the will and the sovereignty of God. It is also an instrument of spiritual instruction to help us live as God intends that we should live. How can you live a holy life without the knowledge of the law of God? The law of the Lord is perfect. Can you discard something perfect? And what else does the law do? Converting the soul. Do you need conversion? Read the law. The testimony, synonym of law, of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. If you are simple and want to be wise, study God's law, his character. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Are you depressed? Do you want rejoicing? Read the law of God. The commandments of the Lord is pure. Have you got a defiled mind? Read the law of God and become pure. Enlightening the eyes. Do you have a problem of insight into matters? Read God's law and you will have perfect insight in your situation and life in general. What would be the next solemn event in this divine drama? I love this. And the Lord came down on Mount Sinai. On the top of the mount, he's a descending God. And the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount. He wants us to reach higher levels. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go down, charge the people, lest they break through to the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish." In the closing verses of this chapter, the people and the priests are again warned not to pass the bounds. Why not? And let the priests, listen to this, the priests, you know, the clergy, the men of the cloth, and let the priests also, which come near to the Lord, sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth on them. So here is a message to everybody that's in the ministry, to be very careful not to pollute your minds with the filth of this world, pornography. God needs holy workers for him. Special mention of the priests would indicate that the urge to trespass was particularly strong among them. 20% of all pastors experiences moral falls. And if you're a pastor, ask God to keep you pure. Is God speaking to ministers of religion? Of course. I'm so glad he speaks to us as well. We are frail. Trained as they were to exercise sacred functions, they may have considered themselves practically equal to Moses and Aaron. My dear pastor colleague, be humble. Could they perhaps resent the exclusion from the divine presence? Were they not also the appointed people to intermediate between God and man? You know, if you're in the ministry, you may become spiritually proud and sometimes arrogant. Hence, the charge to do so was directed specially to them. Holiness of office does not necessarily mean holiness in the individual who holds it. You may be working with holy material, but are you holy inside? Ministers of God are not given any special immunity from iniquity, as the scriptures often demonstrated. And Moses said to the Lord, "The people cannot come up to the Mount Sinai, for you charged us, saying, set bounds about the mount and sanctify it." Inasmuch as God's command in verse 12 has been carried out, Moses assures him that the people could not unwittingly trespass upon the presence of the sacred mount. And the Lord said to him, "Away, Moses, away. Get you down, and you shall come up, you and Aaron with you. But let not the priests and the people break through to come up to the Lord, lest he break forth on them." You know, God is an awful creator, and we need to respect him as well as his law. God rejects Moses' plea that there was no need of warning the people further. You know, God knew what his servant did not know, and that is to prevent trouble, insisted upon a renewed warning. Pastors, God is warning you, not once, but continually. We need pure pastors. So Moses went down to the people and spoke to them. Subdued by the divine rebuke, Moses returned to the camp to warn both priests and people. I'm so glad he warns us, because he wants to save us. What a loving, caring God. He keeps on warning us not to transgress. Why not? He wants to save us to enjoy our future company with him throughout eternity. Don't let sin prevent you from an everlasting joy in the presence, in the company of God. He knows the devastating, destructive effect of sin. Have you experienced this in your life? And have you seen it in the lives of others? God hates sin, but he loves the sinner. Please do not miss heaven. It would be the greatest calamity, disaster of your life. God has an eternal future for you. Don't miss out on it. He wants to save us and have us with him, to love us for eternity. You know, the greatest gift is the gift of somebody loving you. And the greatest gift for somebody else is you loving them. But we live here just for a few years. In heaven, you will experience on a personal level the love of God for you. And you will reciprocate and love him. A relationship with no end in view. Next time, we are going to look at the greatest display of God's love and majesty at Sinai. He will do everything possible to save you and me for eternity. And remember this, on Calvary, He died for you. You are so precious to Him. See His loving, saving character in the light of Calvary. Father in heaven, we adore You. We respect You. Help us to obey Your precepts, Your law, so that we would be able to discover Your character more fully. Grant us a place in Your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.